Heavenly Father, this is your church. These are your people. Lord, speak to us as you would have us to hear, that our hearts and our minds are open and receptive to your word. Pray, O God, that you would be with us now as we worship you continued, and that you would be with us through rest of the service. After we leave, we would live in such a way people would see you in us and glorify you. For Lord, you are the Lord and Master of our lives, and you are the one that has been so merciful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture text for today is found in John chapter 16, beginning at verse 5 through verse 15. Let us stand as we read the scriptures of God. Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see the disciples were discouraged. This is part of the discourse in which Jesus spoke to his disciples before he left, before he was crucified. And we find that they were thinking of the humanistic victory that they wanted Christ to do, and to release them from the Roman Empire, that he would set up a kingdom here on earth. And yet, Jesus's kingdom is not of this world. He had told Pilate that. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. And he tells us the same thing. If we go back into Isaiah, and we find Isaiah, God spoke through him so very plain and very many times. And it starts out, now let me sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard built on a fruitful hill. And we find that God took in Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, because of your righteousness and because of your faith in me, I will count all your goodness as righteousness because you believe and you trust in what I say and what I do. And so he says, I will make your descendants as the sand of the sea, and I will bless the world through your descendants. And the world, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And Abraham, I could only see him saying, thank you, Lord. But you know, you are the one that I trust. You're the one that I give my allegiance to. You're the one that I come to because you are the one that has led me from my father's land to the land of Canaan. And now you have promised me this land and to my descendants. You've given me one son, and I don't know how all this is going to work, but I trust you know and you will do it. Going fast forward, we see that the Israelites, many of them, after they came out of Egypt, after 400 years being slaves there, they rebelled against God. And God then in Isaiah is talking to them, and he says, I have given you a land. I have given you a promise. I have told you I would work through this group of people to show the world my love and to show the world my goodness and compassion and righteousness. Yet you have failed to follow my commands. You have failed to do what I want you to do. You wanted your own king. I gave in to you and gave you your king. And I will tell you that you are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Yet they kept on their own way. Judah was the part of the tribe of the 12 tribes of Judah. And God says, I will bless the world through you because that's where Jesus will come. And he says, I will send my vineyard or Christ, my Lord and my Savior, to you. And yet you're going to reject him. You're going to take and hang him on the cross, and yet not one of his bones will be broken. He will die for the sins of the world. He will be put in the grave, and victory will come through his resurrection because he died on the cross of Calvary, which to you is a curse. Yet I'm using it for glory, the glory of God, to show that he won victory over sin, death, and the devil. And yet today we find that people do not accept that. We find in James, where James says, all good things come from the light above or from God. God is light. He does not have any darkness in him whatsoever. God says, if you are following me and you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you should leave all filthiness out of your language. You should be slow to speak. You should be quick to listen. And you take and learn. Learn from Scripture. Jesus says, search the Scriptures. They tell of me. And as we search that Scripture, we find that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son into the world. And in sending his only begotten Son into the world, he laid aside all his glory in heaven. And he says, I will come and I will pay that penalty of sin on the cursed cross, that rough hewn tree, and I'll be laid in the grave. But to show you my power and to show you my love and to show you my goodness and my mercy, I will rise again on the third day, and I will have victory over sin, death, and the devil. We find that the world went against Jesus Christ. We find that James tells us that if you are walking with the Lord in your heart and in your life, you should meekly graft in that word of God into you. And Jesus says, you disciples, you are sorry because I'm going. You're thinking of your physical self. But the world has to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit cannot come unless I leave. Therefore, I will go back to God the Father. We will send you the Holy Spirit. And he will convict the world of sin. Sin, sin, sin. That the father of sin is the devil. And remember Jesus at the Last Supper, he says, I have to go The prince of this world is now at the door. And Satan tried and had Christ crucified, thinking he was going to stop salvation, not knowing that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was more powerful than his sinful nature. Lucifer was given the angel of light and a very high place in God's kingdom. Yet he rebelled and he let his pride get the best of him. And he says, I will be like God and I will set my throne up in the north above the heavens. And God says, no, you don't. And Satan took one third of the angels in heaven with him. We don't know how many angels were there, but we know he took one third. They were cast out. Satan, God has allowed him for some reason to accuse us before God today of our sin. Satan is sitting there saying, this person is sinful. They can't get into your heaven. And God is saying, they have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I look to them, at them, as if I'm looking at the purity through Jesus Christ. Because they have accepted what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That he not only died on the cross, he was put in the grave, but he arose and he had victory over death. He had victory over your sin and he has victory over you. And Jesus says, I have the keys of hell and of death and of sin. You see, sin is something in the physical body. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. We see sin in all around us. We don't call it that. We call it desires. We call it all kinds of things, but it's lust of the flesh. We want more for ourselves. We want to see how much we can accumulate. And we are more important than anybody else. We feel everything for me and me for me. And yet we find that we forget the past, we forget the present, and we forget the future. We forget the past that sin entered the world. The present sin is still here, but the past Christ came. He died for us. The present he has sent us the Holy Spirit. And the future is we live forever. There is no end from the time of conception to thereon. You live forever someplace. And you find that your spirit will not die. We find that if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we would live in paradise and peace. We don't know all about heaven, but we do know this. That in the new heaven and the new earth, that God himself says, I will be with my people and I will be their sunlight. They will have no night there and they'll have no need of night because I am light and I am the light of the world. You see, when sin in our physical bodies produces desire, and desire then produces lust. And we start wanting. And we say, I desire to have this and this and this. It's a lust of the fleshly body that wants us to have more and more of what the world can give. And when that lust is fully bloomed, you can call it desire, lust, pride, whatever it is. But when it's fully bloomed, it will bring death. Can you imagine sin being born and bringing with it death? And we find that in the physical world. We're born, and in the physical world, we're given so many days to live, and we die. Then the judgment comes, and we find that we will stand before God in the judgment. We're either given eternal life or we're given condemnation. And we find that if we are given eternal life, we have lived for Jesus in our life here on earth. The earth, the life we spend here on earth, is only a short while, and eternity is forever. And we find that in that, what we do here on earth will tell us where we spend eternity. You see, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, and we look all around us, and we say, man says, we must change these laws to make it better. We must do this and that because we want the best. We want everything. We call it socialism. We can call it dictatorship. We can call it what we want. But it's sin down at the base. And as we go on, we find then that the righteousness of God still shows forth. The righteousness of God shows forth because as the Holy Spirit convicts us and we come to Christ and we ask Him to watch over us and keep us, even though sin might overtake our physical life here and we are killed because of our belief in Jesus Christ, we find that God will walk with us through this life if we have our life grounded in Him. If we in meekness take and live in the Word of God, as James tells us, he says, with meekness, follow the Scripture, believe in Jesus Christ. Do not get angry at the people around you in the term of anger. Make sure if you are discouraged with them, it's righteous discouragement or anger. And that it is God that is putting into you what you should do to correct any situations. We are given the power of voting, if you want to call it that, yet it seems so many people have been, I don't know if you want to call it duped, but they have been blinded. God has given them over to lies, because they will not follow Him. He has given them over to depraved minds because they will not follow Him. Yet God tells us in Romans, He says, repent. And if you don't repent, you will, by all means, follow Satan. If you don't repent of your sin, and if you don't repent of following Satan, and you turn to Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will surely die the spiritual death. In Peter, it tells us, he says, beware. Satan goes about as a roaring lion. And as a roaring lion, he'll devour whoever he can. God tells us that in His love, the lion and the lamb will lay down together, and they will not be in animosity against each other. We find that God's love over and supersedes all evil. But we must realize that we choose to either follow God or not to follow Him. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will show you God's truth. If you are suffering because of God's truth, I will help you through it. I will be there with you, and I will take and hold you tight to me, that you do not fall as you keep your faith in me and what I did on the cross and through resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find that sin today is within our borders and within our country. It's within our political life, and it's in almost everything we do. We find that people want to live in sin because it's so much easier but they do not think of the future, and they do not remember the past, because they only look at what they can get for themselves today. We find that Jesus is saying that you would be convicted of sin through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Will you listen to that voice within you and say, turn, repent, and turn to God? Repent and return to Jesus Christ. And in righteousness, we find that the righteousness of God is with those who follow him. You know, when Jesus comes and his thousand-year reign is here on earth, I've used it, and we know the adage of farmers in this community, and I've said, if this man over here has a section of land and this man right beside him has a section of land, if this man serves Christ and does what Jesus says, his crops will be blessed. This man over here refuses to follow God. Jesus says, I will see that he gets no rain on his crop. They can be side by side. But the heart of those two farmers would be one serving Christ and one not. The one that don't serve Christ will suffer and die. The one serving Christ will live forever. And we find Jesus has the power to do that. After 1,000 years, it says Satan will be loosed for a season. And he will go throughout the whole world, and he'll gather the armies of the world to come and fight Christ, because he still is trying to set himself up as God. And Christ says he will be destroyed and cast into everlasting damnation. You see, Satan is going to set himself up as God in the world to come. We're headed towards a one-world ruler, if we like it or not. We're headed in a direction that we don't want to go, because as Christians we don't want to go, because Satan still is controlling too many people here on earth. And sin, because it has produced lust and desire, is now going to produce death to those that don't have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And Satan will set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem, and he'll say, I am God, you worship me. And to show you his power, he'll say, if you don't worship me, you will be killed. If you don't take my mark, you will be killed. You will not be able to buy or sell. That's what Satan's going to say. And people are going to fall for it. And when they take that mark, they turn and condemn themselves into follow Satan. And Satan will be destroyed, because Christ says, I will let you go so far, and if you as a people will not understand and accept the love that God has given you through the cross, and the love he has given you on the sunshine, on your clothes, on your food, and all of these things, the blessings that you've had every day, you don't enjoy them, we'll take them away. We find that a time is coming of wars and famines, and one-third of the world population will die. And then we find a little later, or one-fourth dies, and then one-third a little later. If the population of the world was 8 million people, you'd have 4 million within a 7-year period killed or died. War, famine, pestilences. Is that what you want to live for? Or do you want to live and say, Lord, I repent. Help me to give you full authority in my heart and my life, that your righteousness will show forward, and that the judgment that you have on the world, and that you have already judged Satan, and that he is already condemned, that I don't have to worry about or be concerned with those, because I have you as my personal Lord and Savior. When the rich man called out to Abraham, Abraham told him, there's a great gulf between me and you. I can't come to you and you can't come to me. You see, in life, you had the goodness and it took you the wrong way because you refused to give God the glory. You refused to have Jesus Christ as number one in your heart. You refused and you wanted more. And you were going to try and accumulate more, but you're only appointed so many days here on earth. How is it then with each of us? Are we willing to say, Lord, be the Lord of my life? Be the Lord that I want you to be in my life, that I will follow you and glorify your holy name. That I don't get the glory, you do, Jesus, because you died for me back here. Today, you've given me righteousness and you've taken care of me. And in the future judgment, you have judged me as righteous and holy, that I would be in your kingdom. And we find that Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And if you follow Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will find that he will take care of you. Even though you have hard times here on the physical earth, that God will take care of you. And people can make fun of you, but they cannot take away the salvation you have for eternity as you give your life to Jesus Christ. And you stand for him. We find then that it is through Christ and Christ alone that we have life and that we have it more abundantly, that we have the joy and the peace of knowing that he has not only forgiven us, but that he has secured us into his kingdom as we trust in him above all things, that we come to him daily, that we search the scriptures, and that we ask God to use us to glorify himself and not to glorify us. That the Holy Spirit will work in such a mighty way through us that people will see him in us. And through that, they will turn their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, and that they too would be taken out of Satan's camp and put into eternal life. And we could have more blessings because there's more people in heaven. But when we stand before God, how does your life portray to those around you so that God will say, because of you, this person left Satan and came over to me? And through you, through that love that you showed, that it is through God's love living out from us that we draw people onto Jesus Christ. And that Jesus then, dying on the cross and being buried and rose again, can prove to them as well as to us that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That through that, we have the righteousness of God that lives forever in us, and God looks at us as righteous and holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us in your care. Help us, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit not only takes from you and gives to us, but through it all, O Lord, you would be blessed, and that we would bless you in all things. I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Let us turn to 543.